Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 21. The championship for the IPL is coming into view. What about you? Are you in the championship running in your league? Hopefully so, and if you are, we're going to talk about how to make sure you get the most out of the last two matches. Also, we're going to introduce the nominees for the Fantasy Awards this year. This is the Fantasy IPL Podcast. Here we go.
Hey, gang, the playoffs are upon us, and Witt and myself, both of our teams lost in the first two matches. Luckily, Titans have another chance. Witt, how are you feeling about that disappointing day for Lucknow?
I'm just mad at them. Like, I do not understand that strategy. I don't understand sitting Quentin de Kock. Like,
they lost. The game's over.
I don't understand why he would start a brand new opening pair in an elimination game. Lot of head scratching. I don't know. I'll have to read up on, you know, what they have to say about it, because clearly somebody's going to have to give an explanation. But I'm just mad at them. This is a unacceptable way to approach that game, in my opinion. And it cost them. They did not look good. They got handled pretty easily, I'd say. Not the team that I was hoping that would show up, but I think it makes it easier for fantasy to have the mess of LSG out of the way. So
it did. Well, and honestly, even the Kock thing, because I was back and forth. I know you were 100% in on the Kock. I was not. I was not sure if I wanted to play him or not. So having him out. I think we both pivoted to Krunal Pandya, which did not help.
Nope. But you said pre-recording, you know, went from having 0 points to 12 or something like that. It's like, come on. That was disappointing. But I can't tell you that I felt like they were a championship team. Like, I don't feel like they got cut short too bad. So there'll be years where they should win the championship. And that was not this year. So just a playoff appearance, I guess, was good. But ugh. I would have much rather seen a better performance and a win, but they gave me neither.
Well, I felt the pain as far as my team also getting pretty well handled. I mean, I knew that Super Kings had the advantage going into that. They were the away team playing at their home venue. And do you think there's any other team that playing at their venue gives them as much of an advantage as Chennai in Chennai?
It can't be. That was incredible.
Like, pretty close, but
yeah, I mean, even then, maybe just because the sort of, you know, this overhanging story that this may or may not be Dhoni's last appearance in the IPL, he gave an interview after that match.
What did you think about that?
And they were asking him, you know, like, was this your last time at Chapak? And his response was only that he will always be involved with CSK in some capacity. But the writing's on the wall. The fans know it. We referred to him kind of as the Santa Claus of, you know, of IPL early. You know, I think that was episode one when we started introducing a lot of these players to people that may have not known them. And if that didn't paint the picture of how important Dhoni and a successful CSK team is to the fandom of IPL, when you watched that match, you know, that sea of yellow, the constant roar that, I mean, they made a small stadium sound enormous. That sounded like that. I mean, you probably would have needed ear, you know, protection for some of the stuff. I mean, Dhoni came out and got a one. He got a single. And I think that would have hurt my ears to hear him get that single. It's pretty incredible. But other people did far more, if you want to kind of actually talk about the recap of that game and some of the, you know, more tangible things than Dhoni for that. What do you think?
It was a game that was won by bowlers. Gaikwad had a good a good knock at bat, and he really was the only one who shone on either team. And but the bowlers, I mean, there was tons of wickets falling in that match, especially from the Super Kings side, and they spread it even. I think going forward with that, the bet you're Super Kings and Kucherov, just pick up two other bowlers, you'll probably get 2 to 3 wickets.
Yes,
there really wasn't anybody who stood out as the guy the way in today's match someone stood out as that guy.
Sure. Yeah, I think the easier picks when you're looking for wicket takers are Rashid Khan and Jadeja, but you're playing all-rounder positions for both those guys, and they're both very expensive. Yeah. When you're sprinkling in those other ones, it's like, man, I don't feel like the pitch reports have been much help to me. Yeah. when they're talking about it's going to slow down, the spinners are going to win, you know, this is going to happen, and then, you know, okay, maybe that's true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's who's available or who really the best bowlers are for the teams that are playing at that phase of the game. It's just take it for what it's worth. Maybe pick them based on your favorite names or who's gotten the most recently or something. But yes, CSK bowlers, I mean, they spread the love. They munched up all these wickets with 1 and 2 wickets apiece. I don't think anybody had more than 2 for CSK. And it just kind of seemed like they all did their job. But that was the batting side for CSK too. I thought it was interesting. You know, Gaikwad, yeah, he had a perfectly good knock. But even at that, we were still debating on the fantasy side of things about who was going to be man of the match once it was pretty obvious that CSK was going to win. We still didn't even feel like that was so convincing until Gaikwad made a couple of really, really nice plays in the field, including an incredible catch. And I think I texted the group and said, that's it. He just locked it up. But that was kind of really the only difference maker. They all just rose to the occasion and did their job. And on the other side, GT was very quiet. I think it's interesting that, like, we probably all felt let down by Shubman Gill's 42. That was a quiet game.
The difference for him was it was 42 off of 38 instead of 42 off of 25.
Which is what you expect.
This was the most worrying thing for me as a Gujarat fan, is no more so than in this match did it feel like Gujarat has no depth on their batting. Like, they rely on Shubman Gill to do all the work. I mean, nobody else helped. Like, the guys you would expect to, Dave Miller, Vijay Shankar, Pandya, I mean, he's kind of been that way the whole season. Ridhman Saha's not been real reliable. I mean, when they bring in Sai Sudarsan, he is pretty reliable. He wasn't in this one. They had Dawson Shinaka instead, who, I mean, he was their third best batter at 17 off of 16. So that has me worried, because they haven't felt like that the whole year. It seems like most of the year there's at least 2 or 3 guys who can who can make it happen. And what I'm hoping is, as a Gujarat fan and as a fantasy fan, is that that's not the way they actually are. That tomorrow, or when next match they play in 2 days, that yes, Shubman Gill is still going to be the backbone of the batting, but you're not going to be disappointed by every other batter. But there's going to be a couple others who can go out and put up 30 and 40 runs. And it's not, they're not down by 100 runs when Rashid Khan comes up and just, he's great. He's way better than you'd expect for someone who plays more as a bowler.
Yeah, but that's not his purpose. That's not why he's there. And they still, despite his prowess, are not going to move him to like fourth in the order. That's not going to happen. But I think it was match 70 where you and I were talking about it, and you realized basically after the game had started, it's like, man, I'm really shallow on GT batters, because you had Shubman, and do you remember who else you had? But you only had 2 guys that were likely to bat for GT.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might have been Saha. I think it might have been Saha was the other that you had. And so that was kind of my question. If you wanted to build batting depth, if for some reason you wanted to, okay, if you wanted to build in batting depth on the GT side, your anchor obviously is Gill. And then you kind of have to make a choice of which way you want to expand. Are you willing to go towards Saha, or do you start rolling the dice more with some of these middle guys, assuming Sai Siddharsan's not available? Do you look at Shankar? Do you look at Hardik? Where, you know, if you're looking for that balanced lineup, you want a few bats and a few bowlers on each side. It actually is surprisingly tough with GT to know who your reliable bet's going to be. Which names come up for you when you're trying to fill that space?
Yeah, well, let's save that discussion. I want to get more dive deep into that a little more on the preview for Gujarat versus Mumbai.
Perfect.
Because they're so different in that category.
Okay, well then let's go ahead and slide down to, because we know both those teams are playing again, so we got plenty to talk about with them. But we can just slide on down the wicket here to MI versus LSG. LSG didn't present anything in this game. If you went heavy on LSG, you probably largely regretted it. But interestingly, MI kind of did the same thing. They're just were the better team today. So, you know, we'd be totally remiss if we didn't talk about Akash Madwal. That clearly man of the match deserving performance that he had today as an uncapped player, by the way, when you're dealing with fantasy stuff and trying to build that in. We'll probably have more to say about that, but
5 runs, 5 wickets, 3.5 overs, 5 runs and 3.5 overs. That's incredible. Is that the best? Like, has anybody ever done that well in IPL?
You know, they didn't specifically mention it, but it sure seems like it. What was that, like a 1.4 economy rate by the time that's done?
Yeah, it's like, the only reason he didn't get to, you know, 5 runs and 4 overs to finish his overs is because he finished the match. It was over. So, yeah, I would be shocked if he didn't go. I mean, that really is almost like the opposite of Rinku Singh as far as, like, just – off the hook play for one match that wins your team the game.
Right. Cause you know, the bats for MI by no means were bad. I mean, they got up to what, 181 runs or whatever it came out to be. And it didn't look like that was going to be the case. It was a very slow start. I started thinking like, man, if a couple wickets fall, they're going to be, you know, I thought LSG was only going to have to chase like 135, 140, something like that. And they just kind of managed to churn it out. It actually ended up going pretty well on the bat side, but nobody exploded with runs. But obviously the focus here is on MI, because on a fantasy side, you're pretty much just ditching LSG. If you got anybody on your roster, you're moving on. But you know, both good of us fell victim to Krunal, and both of us kind of capitalized on Stoinis. But other than that, Naveen Al-Haq was sort of the honorable mention, I'd say, for LSG.
Yeah, I had said that before the match that whoever picked the right guy for LSG would be the one who would end up winning our playoffs, because it's so hard to pick. Well, this one, Mumbai made it easy for us because none of them were really good. So as our fantasy playoff stands right now, it's actually a pretty close match between everybody in the whole thing right now. But the thing I liked about Mumbai is the three guys that did, you could say, hit on batting, Varma, Big Sky, and Cameron Green, were the guys that you're going to pick for fantasy.
Yep.
It was not a big surprise. It wasn't like Tim David got 70 or that Rohit came out and you know, hit 65 off of 30 or something.
No, Rohit kind of reminded us why. But does that shake your confidence at all in Ishan Kishan that he had a bad game? I don't know that at any point this season, because you know me, I've basically failed to have him in my lineup. He's not been in one of these like you gotta play him kind of guys. He started creeping up into the like you better be playing him, you should be playing him type conversation, but he never really jumped into that. So like an incredibly pedestrian game here at what, 15 runs on 12 balls is just kind of what I expect every time I put Ishan Kishan into my lineup, because I'm like, okay, I'm playing him now. His production is going to come down. That's fine. But knowing that he is going to play in this next match with GT, I don't know why anybody would, if you had him, get rid of him, because he's still probably the better option over Saha. But would you go get him if you don't have him for some reason?
I'll say this. If I don't have Saha, or well, I guess, yeah, if I had been one who picked up Pooran, let's say, as my uncapped player for the last one, or sorry, what am I talking about? My uncapped player, my wicket keeper for the last match.
Right.
And I had to choose between Saha and Kishan. For me, it's an easy pick to pick Kishan.
Same.
I'd much rather have him than Saha or MS One Run Dhoni. Sorry. I know we just lost all of our Indian listeners. I apologize.
That is fine. So Ishan Kishan to me didn't change his role, his scope. There was a bunch of people in our league who, you know, I think VC'd him today, hoping for a better game. I still wouldn't be surprised to see some people do that because of his opening role. His stock really didn't change, but I'll tell you whose stock is definitely up. And if you didn't have him, you need to go get him, and that's Cameron Green. And it's not even so much his production, like, which has been stellar, a century followed by 41, which I think led all batters for MI today. He seems to have claimed an early batting order spot for a good chunk of the late to mid season. He got relegated down to like batting sixth, seventh sometimes. He just wasn't really getting the opportunity. And then for some reason they moved him up, and it seems to work really well for him. So, the other part about him is that he got, what, 3 bowling overs today? That might have just been because they smelled blood in the water with LSG, and they were just like, hey, we can save some of our other arms. I don't know that there's anything negative to say about Cameron Green, but you need him on your roster, I think, right now. He seems like a must play, not necessarily more so than somebody like Sky, but He seems like a must play for MI right now. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm in a position where, as far as my team makeup going forward, I only want to pick up one Mumbai player for this next one, because I'm trying to play a balanced game, because I really don't know who's going to win. And I have to decide between, do I pick up Cameron Green or do I pick up Akash Madwal? We'll talk more about Madwal, I guess, as far as playing against GT. But for me, that's a tough one, because do you play the hot hand or do you play the guy who's – I mean, he's, Cameron Green, it's not like he's a cold hand. He's been good to great.
So. No, and he was bold today, straight up by Naveen Al-Haq. Like, Cam Green never looked bad today. So when he got bowled, it was just like, it was a genuine surprise against, oh, by the way, the best bowler that LSG had to offer today. He was just on. Naveen Al-Haq was on. He was going to do that to somebody. So, like, Cameron Green only getting 41 feels like a letdown because he just came off a century, but he looked great. He just got beat on exactly one ball. He wasn't getting lucky. He wasn't, you know, out there floundering. Yeah. Yeah. He was commanding, because that 41 was on 23. That's a 178 strike rate. He was doing exactly what you want him to do out there. And if you could have a situation where Green and Sky are both batting aggressive, you could see MI push a run rate of like 15 easily for a while if those two guys start firing at the same time. I love the fact that they moved him up in the order and just made sorting out who you want on your team a little bit easier.
Well, do you have anything else you want to review before we get into talking about basically these same teams?
Yeah, such is the playoffs, right? I mean, right. This is, we are just right in the middle of it's so weird that, you know, our last episode, we were like, we don't know who's going to play. We still don't know who's going to play in the last match other than CSK. The only thing we know for sure is this next match. Match 73, GT versus MI. Why don't you cover the GT side of things? Those are your boys. Who are you excited about other than the obvious? Anybody?
Well, you know, we talked about the batters having an off day. Was it an off day, or is Gujarat really weak at batting and they rely on Shub McGill? I mean, I still think a lot of people are going to have Shub McGill in their lineup.
Yeah.
And you should play him. Like, if you don't have him, he's probably one of the best to pick up. Like, I personally, I would still, if I had to choose between him or Cameron Green, I'd still pick up Shub McGill.
Fair.
What has me a little worried is that last time Mumbai played Gujarat, Mumbai won. The time before that, Gujarat won. So they are even as far as the series goes.
Okay.
But their batting was almost the same as what you saw with the Super Kings. Just nobody able to fire. The only reason they even came close, the only reason that it was a 27-run win instead of a 100-run win was because Rashid Khan went lights out when he got in very early for him.
That was an insane game, because didn't he also have 4 wickets in that game or something? I mean, just...
Yeah, he did. I think he was 3 or 4. Yeah, he had 4 wickets, and then he didn't get man of the match because Sky got his century.
Do you think that Rashid Khan will remember that and make sure that he has like the exact same thing for lunch that day? Make sure he wears the same pair of underpants, you know. Has that fan? So.
I think he's I've been hesitant to captain him a lot.
Not anymore.
Just because he's mostly a bowler. He doesn't come out and do that very often.
Right.
With the bat. On this match, I'm considering doing it because I think if Gujarat's going to win, it's going to be on the back of Rashid Khan in this match. They are back at Ahmedabad, which is good. It's generally a good wicket to play on.
So that brings me to a point. You know, I know we're harping the GT things here, but you know, this is essentially a home game for GT at Ahmedabad. And if you are in this weird, you know, not sure who to play, like if for some reason you burn up a ton of transfers or whatever, are you more anxious to spend, I mean, because both these matches are at Ahmedabad, but are you more anxious to spend to one side, like to GT over MI, because it's, you know, they're in theory home game?
Yeah, I think I would rather, if I am playing the balanced approach in this one, because I'm not confident about either team winning. I think it's going to be a real good match. But I am trying to lean into Gujarat. I'm going to have 6, I want to have 6 Gujarat players versus 5 Mumbai players. That being said, though, in this match, I don't think I care that much. Like, I don't mind which one has slightly more. I'm definitely not going to go all in on one team and have like 7 Gujarat players. This is definitely one where I just want to pick the best players. I don't want to try to play the transfers game today. Okay. Luckily, I have enough transfers that I can afford to do that a little bit.
So it seemed like the top teams in our league, if not even just basically everybody, spent 2 or 3, and in most cases 3 transfers for match 72 to get ready for that. You're still, what you're wanting to accomplish here, setting this up, is still only spending 2 to 3. So that way you can have 11 players in match 74, right? That's the goal, but don't do that at sacrifice of not playing good players here. Don't say,
yeah,
you know, don't miss out on Shub McGill. Don't miss out on Cameron Green in an effort to save transfers necessarily, especially depending on your playoff format or something like that. If you're facing elimination, if you don't score big points, these are 2 very good teams playing at a relatively high scoring venue. The risk, of course, you know, is that you don't have enough transfers for the next match. But one of these two teams is going to win, and you've already got half a team. You know, so if you only have maybe, say, three transfers left going into the next match, you're going to have, what, nine guys, eight to ten guys, depending on how you have that structured out. Get the points when they're available. So that brings me back to a question I asked you earlier. You said we'd kind of defer on it. Other than Shubman Gill, who are you going to put on your roster for the purpose of scoring runs with the bat for GT?
Yeah, and it's a tough one because I do think that some of these players are going to come through on tomorrow's match. My question is, do you pick between these three guys? So it's the middle order that's been kind of letting down GT throughout the season, on and off at least. I think David Miller, Vijay Shankar, and Hardik Pandya have all shown in the past that they can win matches. But which one do I think is going to win this match? If I'm going to pick one of these middle order guys, and I'm not really counting Rahul Tawadia. He hasn't gotten out enough. He isn't. You know, he can be clutch in that last over, but otherwise, if he comes out of the 14th over, I'm not excited about that. And I'm also leaving off Sai Sudarsan and the Man of War because
it might not be available.
Yeah, they both might not be in the lineup, and I would be hesitant to pick them up anyway because I want to pick up players who are going to be in the next match, so I don't have to spend an extra transfer. And they've been kind of playing fast and loose with those guys. Same with Dasan and Shanaka. I think my pick is probably David Miller.
Okay.
He has not been impressing lately, but he did score 41 off of 26 last time they played. Akash Madwal got his wicket, by the way. And he also was clutch in the playoffs last year. Now, I know that was last year. It was a long time ago. It was against different teams. But I think between those guys, that's who I would pick. I think a good case could be made for Vijay Shankar. You're going to have a hard time convincing me to spend 11 credits or whatever it is to get Hardik Pandya. I'd be perfectly happy, though, if I didn't pick up Hardik Pandya and he got a century and won the game. even if you had him on your team, I'd still be thrilled.
So, and I do have him on my team, but as a leftover from the last match. I have a really hard time just sidestepping Hardik Pandya at this point in the season. He hasn't done much, but he is the captain, and he forces himself into this role. It's like I feel like he would suit himself best to bat as either an opener or at like five or six, but he loves to throw himself in at third. And it's just like, man, you got to get these guys with opportunities, and you know he's capable. So maybe you strike gold, but yeah, at 11 credits and in that all rounder position, it's tough. I don't blame you if you don't play him. I have him, so I'm not going to spend a transfer to move him off. I've been able to make my roster work despite that 11 credits, which means you can too. But, you know, there's compromises you gotta make if you're going to do that. And unfortunately, what that means is right now is I'm hoping that Sudarsan plays so that I can kind of have three reliable bats. But if it's not him and I got to pivot, watch me go into full blown panic mode on Friday trying to figure that out.
Here's the question I have, and I have it for the next match too. If you've got that extra transfer and you want to bring in one more Gujarat player, do you bring in one of these middle order guys, or do you bring in an extra bowler?
I'm bringing in a bowler.
Knowing all of their bowlers are perfectly good for 1 to 2 wickets.
I'm bringing in a bowler. As long as it's a bowler that I can look back and see is getting regular work. I'm not bringing in a bowler because they're an uncapped and it's their season debut if GT does something silly like that. But
yeah,
if you're going to spend a transfer, especially if it means you got to move somebody off, just, you know, like Noor Ahmad seems to just be hanging around as like a very consistent presence. Mohit Sharma, is there. What was the name? It was like Nalconda or something like that, kind of showed up out of nowhere. I wouldn't do it for somebody like that. Somebody that if I look back 3 or 4 games and it's like, oh, they get 4 overs a game, that's who I'm more interested in. Unless, and this is a caveat too, there is some pressure based on positioning. So like you and I are in the front of our league right now. So I'm kind of playing defense via offense. It's like I need runs, but I need the same runs you have. I need the same runs that other people have or whatever. I'd be more interested in like a VJ Shanker than a bowler if I need runs. Like if I need somebody that just the chances of like Noor Ahmad having, you know, like an iCash Madwall type day is very, very small. Basically nobody's ever done that before. So like don't count on that. But VJ Shanker coming out and getting 65 runs is totally reasonable. So just kind of strategy wise, if you're trying to play catch up, you know, kind of a high risk versus, you know, just playing smart, filling out your roster. I don't think you can go wrong by adding a bowler who's at least going to get opportunities.
So who else to talk about? Anybody else on GT or do you want to look at Mumbai?
I think we've beat GT to death pretty good. I mean, just don't get cute. You know who the stars are. Make sure you play that. And then we've just talked about some of those other pieces. And Mumbai is kind of the same way. Is there anybody who's an outlier on Mumbai that maybe has your fancy more for filling up, making sure you have 11 this time versus other times? I can tell you the one name that scares me right now is Wat Hara. Because as an uncapped, he's very tempting. Tilak Varma was back and took that, and it forced Wat Hara way down the batting order for some reason. But yet he still did okay. It's just I don't like spending transfers, making room for somebody who may or may not even get a chance.
Right, it's that far down.
Yeah. They're tricky.
The uncapped is tough for me in this one. I mean, I don't want to – we talk about not chasing the points. And it's very easy to chase the Akash Madwall 5 wickets, 5 runs. And I think he had a run out too.
There was a run out while he was bowling. I don't know if he was directly involved in it though. I don't know if he touched the ball.
He had 5 wickets, but it's on Google. It has his name as the run out.
Okay.
He accounted for 6 of their 10 out, so they're 10 wickets. Anyway, the reason I am really, really tempted to chase these points is because, one, he has been okay in other games. This isn't like he just came out of nowhere. He has had a few matches with wickets, and especially I want to point to the last time he got 3 wickets was when they played Gujarat. His economy wasn't as good. I mean, it was still less than 8, which is fine. He took David Miller's, Shubb McGill's, Ridhiman Saha's wickets.
So he got up some big ones.
Yeah, he got some big. I mean, Shubb McGill got out for 6 runs and Saha for 2 runs. It's, he is probably arguably the best bowler in that match. I don't even know about arguably. Well, I guess other than Rashid Khan. But for Mumbai, he was. So I think if you want to chase those points, you can feel confident doing that. Like, I don't think he's a worse pick than some of these other guys. Like, Tilak Varma plays pretty far down the order. And
today.
And Gujarat, yeah, that's true. Gujarat, I don't know, again, if they were going to play Sai Sudarsan, I would love to pick him. But I don't know that they're going to play him next match. I think Akash Madwal has probably earned his spot as I do not expect. I think he's going to play in the next 2 matches. They can't really take him out. So,
right. Guy, you know, it's somebody who's going to get work is what you're looking for there. Most people didn't have him, but assuming you're already sitting on an uncapped of some kind, hopefully it was from MI from this last match, you know, there's a really strong chance for a lot of people that was, you know, Tilak Varma, or Wat Hara, something like that. If you're making another uncapped move, especially if Sai Siddharthan's not available, to me, yeah. the no-brainer is a cash. And ooh. So that's where I will immediately go to if Sai Sudarsan's not available. I'm still just a little bit more interested in run getters than batters or than bowlers right now. So, but it's a great argument. I mean, nobody seems hotter after today's match than Akash Madwal. Anything else from this match that I feel like you need to go over? I just play the stars and then take a couple of risks. It's basically what you're doing.
Yeah. Do you think would you ever consider that one of those risks being on Rohit Sharma?
He is a risk. I'd like to say he's not going to do worse than he did today, but actually 11's pretty good for him if you look at a few of his matches. I'm just not making room for Rohit.
No. If you had to spend 11 credits or 10 and a half, whatever it is, on him or on Hardik Pandya, knowing Hardik really doesn't bowl anymore, who would you pick?
Still Hardik. Just,
yeah, I think I would too.
Just based on his potential being higher, I think it's the part of that is that I believe that GT is in position to just dominate in this game. I think that the loss we talked about this was actually good for them, you know, getting pretty well humbled too. You know, I don't know why they didn't play so well in the last match, and I don't know why that happens to them from time to time, but. Some teams, I think, respond well to pressure. Some teams don't. That being said, MI is basically playing with house money here. They, especially early in the season, had no business being in the playoffs. So the fact that they're in the playoffs and looking good, I think they're the team that's probably having a little bit more fun right now than GT. GT just, they walked away with egg on their face, and I don't know that there's a, between the two, they're the most motivated team. So,
yeah, when they last time they walked away with egg on their face, or I don't know about last time, they've had a couple surprises this year. But when Rinku took them for all they're worth in the last over, I think they won the next three matches. They
there's something to it. It's an intangible thing. And if nothing else, pick the players from the team that you think is going to win, gives you a better chance for man of the match. And then if they won, it's probably because they did well. So if you can't decide maybe between those two, Rohit or Hardik, I think that you just go with the team that either you're hoping for or you believe will win. And in that case, I think it would be Hardik for me. So,
well, the next match, I'm afraid it's hard. It's a little hard to talk about not knowing who's going to be in. But I think pretty much everything we said for this match could carry over to whoever wins it.
Yep.
For the next match. So we'll mostly be talking about CSK here. And you probably also have more opportunity to pick players up from CSK. Cause if you're like me and probably most people, when CSK won, you dumped them so you can pick up, Mumbai and LSG. So, what do you think with LSG? I think I'm really liking Gaikwad right now. I've met more so than Devin Conway. I think he could really shine in this at Ahmedabad at the big stadium.
Do you see a scenario where you don't have both?
That's a good question. No, I don't know if there is. If I had to pick one for captaining though, I would pick Gaikwad.
Okay. No, Gaikwad seems like he's season, better off.
All season I would have picked Conway. I've been a Conway guy all season. Seems like the switch is happening here. Maybe Conway's getting homesick.
Maybe. yeah, whatever the reason is, Gaikwad seems like he just is more in form right now than Conway. We saw this at the beginning of the season, though, where it was like one or the other and never at the same time would they get it together, and it wasn't terribly predictable. So I'm going to do everything in my power to have both of them. But I agree that I think if you were trying to captain one of the two, Gaikwad seems like a little bit better option just based on his recent form. But by no means is that like an indictment on Conway's potential. He's
correct. Right.
He would be of zero surprise to me to see him win man of the match and be the highest run scorer, you know, for both teams. Totally doable. Either one of them can do it. And with that opening pair, as we've been harping all season with CSK, is the only sure thing for this team when it comes to bats. You're going to play a lot of guesswork. So it kind of is the same question we have with GT. After you get past that opening pair, Conway, Gaikwad, who's up next? If you're trying to, not necessarily, I'm not asking you to guess who is actually going to bat third, yes, but who's up next?
Thank you.
If you're trying to fill batting order, and you're looking for maybe a third bat for CSK, who's on your radar?
Well, you've got Dubé, Rahane, and Ryudu are the three to choose. I guess Moeen Ali, you could choose him
no.
too.
No, you don't.
Moeen Ali.
Don't do it.
I think I would. I really want to go Dubé. They brought Dubé in earlier than normal in this last match, and he got out real quick. I would hope that they wait a little longer because he's the guy who's able to hit the sixes. Otherwise, either Rahane or Dubé. I don't really know how I'd pick between them. My question is, it's the same one as the last match. Would you rather pick one of these three guys, or would you rather pick another bowler from CSK? Like, if you've got Poop Piyush, which I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you probably do.
Just push him on into that lineup.
Like, if you don't have Deepak Chahar, like, I think I'd rather pick him up than either any of those three guys, because he's gotten at least two wickets in every match since he's came back. Or Patharana, if you don't have him. I even think Shana looked great. Or Deshpande. They all seem good, and it seems like most of those middle order batters are very hard to predict, and they all seem to have pretty low floors.
Yeah,
17 runs is not great, and that's the best any of them did in the last match.
Yeah, because they were all outscored by Jadeja with the bat, which is all the more reason. Like I said, we're not getting cute here. You're going to play Gaikwad, Conway, Jadeja. Those are like the three guarantees representing the CSK side.
Here for me, Jadeja. He'll be on your lineup. It just you catch him or not.
Yeah, just don't. Yeah, don't get cute. Make sure he's there. Do you see a scenario where he gets the call to bat before some of these guys and lowers their value even more? Just because he's done this a couple times now, where he gets his opportunity. I don't see it happening, but
I think Dhoni likes to bat with Jadeja. And so I would see if Conway and Gaikwad lasted a long way, you know, Dhoni is going to put himself in when he thinks it's the end.
Sure.
And so I could see him saying like, oh, okay, we're in the 16th over. And finally, Conway lost his wicket. I could see him putting Jadeja in and then just putting himself in next.
And that is what is super difficult about CSK, is that you don't know who that extra bat is going to be. Yep. I do think it's going to be Dubé still. Prior to the last match, though, if you had asked me, I would have guessed Rahane. I just feel like that they are going to look for the veterans first. I just would have assumed that that's where they would turn to first, but they turned to Dubé and he did not do what he was supposed to do. One run on three balls. So maybe they really do go back to Rahane, but just the fact that we're having this conversation is proof that I'm going to largely steer clear. Does Dhoni for sure bat?
I mean, I guess maybe he doesn't if Gaikwad and Conway. If Gaikwad and Conway go the distance, otherwise, like if Conway gets out at the 18th over, Dhoni's in next. Like I think he'll bat no matter what, as long as they lose a single wicket. Which, if they're up against Gujarat, they're going to lose wickets. Those bowlers aren't going to let him go wicketless.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the possibility that like somebody is really trying to stretch. They're trying to fill that 11, and for some reason they're considering Dhoni because you know he's going to get a chance. I'm just curious if you if you see a scenario where CSK is chasing, it's the 17th over and a wicket falls and they need, you know, 40 runs. Does Dhoni tap himself, or does he tap one of these guys who has always bowled before him or batted before him this season? That'd be like the one miss out, because this game is being not at Chepauk. I don't know that he has as big of a need to like please the fans.
Yeah.
And the guy hits boundaries most of the time when he comes in, but he only has like four balls to face. So it's just like, there's no risk. I just don't know that he'd be willing to put his wicket on the table and risk it over top of like a Rahane or somebody like that. But maybe, right? I mean,
I think he puts himself in every single match if he can. I think he will put himself in. I was thinking, what would get me to a point where I play Dhoni for anything other than like just for the feels of having Dhoni in my lineup for the last possible match? I mean, the only way is like, let's say you have Ishan Kishan in match 73, Mumbai loses. You have to pick up. I mean, I guess you don't have to pick up a wicketkeeper. If you aren't trying to get 11 players, if you only have the transfers for 10, you could just leave them there. But you want to pick up one of these two guys. I mean, do you pick up Ridhiman Saha or MS Dhoni? Dhoni costs more. He has like half the fantasy points. He hasn't scored more than 30 since match 41. And that was, he only scored 33. Like, he's only scored more than 40 one time. I don't see any reason you pick up Dhoni. But I am not saying I don't think Dhoni could come out and hit, like you said, he just hits sixes and he's good at it. He's good at knowing where to hit the ball. He's good at knowing when he should come off strike and let Jadeja or whoever get on strike. So.
Yeah. Cause like I said, the only reason I bring him up is that of the CSK bats, knowing who is for sure going to get a chance, it's kind of like Conway and Dhoni are the only ones that you know when and where and why they're going to appear. So, true. Man, that's goofy.
it's good. Whoever it is, I really want it to be Gujarat, of course. I'm also kind of a guy who, like, this works for me. This is how it is with every sport. I don't like to just see the same two teams always winning it, and so if it was Mumbai versus Chennai in the championship, you know, the two winningest teams in history, I'd be kind of bored. Be like, okay, one of these guys is gonna win again. I'd rather have Gujarat get in and have it be like, I like the drama of the new hotness versus the old guard, much better than, you know, the two really good, historically really good teams playing yet again.
Fair enough. Whew. A lot of guesswork. Good luck.
So we got a special segment to wrap up today.
We do.
This is our last episode of the season. We will have one more episode, sort of postseason episode, where we will have our fantasy year-end awards for the 2023 season. So these are fantasy based. They're not awards for how players actually played. But today we'd like to announce our nominees.
Just the nominees. These are not the winners. And I invite anybody who listens in the comments, email something, tweet us at the Fantasy Pod, IPL Fantasy Pod. If you have anybody that we left off these lists, it's not too late to become a nominee. You just want to go back and forth on these for these fantasy year-end awards for our players?
Yes, but first, let me cue the music. All right, much better, much better. Go ahead, start it off with, what's the first award?
Okay, so our first award is the Fantasy Bargain Bin. The Fantasy Bargain Bin Hero specifically. So in this category are the players that either were uncapped or very low on your credit burn to get them onto your team, but they undeniably produced or had some great value for your team. That is, of course, our favorite board game, Rinku Singh, Jaiswal, the Trash Panda himself, Dishar Deshpande, Jitta Sharma, a little bit of a caveat there that just, okay, he wasn't great compared to maybe some of these other guys, but what a value at wicketkeeper to just hold that spot for you. Patharana at only 6 credits, if you can believe it. And then prop Simran Singh. Those are your nominees for Fantasy Bargain Bin Hero. Who's up next?
All right, the next category is the Party Pooper Award. These are the players that were the biggest fade throughout the year. The ones that started off hot, you wanted them in your lineup, and you kept putting them in, and then they just kept letting you down. The nominees are Shikhar Dhawan, not really ever coming back to form after that injury. Joss Butler, or maybe Josh Butler. Arshdeep Singh, started at the very top, just kept sinking. Same with Ravishandra Ashwin, or the disappearing man, Mark Wood, also known as Lucknow's second best bowler.
That's tragic. Old Joss Butler became just a butler. Our next category, the Fashionably Late Award. These are the biggest stars for the back half of the fantasy season. And your nominees are Heinrich Klassen, no explanation needed. So about to give his name. What is going on, Scott? Surya Kumar Yadav. Maybe a little bit of a surprise, but if you remember, he did not start the season well. Jason Roy. And then Noor Ahmad has made the category for Fashionably Late. Take us away.
All right, the next award is the Gone Fishing Award for the Biggest Bait Player. So this, Wynn, I might need your help explaining this one. This is the players who would hit a big... Can you explain this one?
Yeah, so these are just the players that managed to find their way onto your roster over and over and over again because they should be a good play, they should be smart plays, but let you down a lot. They baited you into a bad game. Go ahead with the
and nominee. The nominees are David Warner, to nobody's surprise, the Pandya brothers, both of them Krunal and Hardik this year. There's some family trouble there. Wanindu Hasaranga, I remember how excited I was when Aiden Markram let a lot of players down. Kyle Mayers after his big start. And Chahaliwood. He's Vendra Chahaliwood. He had some huge matches. He also had a lot of stinkers.
He did. I think I was burned by every single one of those players at least once this year. So the next category is the Kingpin Bowler Award. We could have done this in a simpler way where we just award this to the Purple Cap winner and that may end up being who it is, but the nominees are being considered not only for the number of wickets that they've taken, but you know the value at which they did that for you. So the nominees are Rashid Khan, Jadeja, Muhammad Shami.
I'm going to stop saying no surprise.
Varun Chakradharthi, a.k.a. Chatty Cathy, Payush Chawla, and Tushar Deshpande. Those are your nominees for the Kingpin Bowler.
The next award goes to the One Hit Wonder category. And these are the players that had a huge hit, and hopefully you didn't chase the points, because they never really came back. The nominees are Harry Brook, first century of the season. Shikhar Dhawan makes another appearance. And then finally, Venkatesh Iyer, also with his century and not much more after that.
Yeah, those were tough. On to some fun categories here. The best fantasy nickname. So if you've been listening to our pod, you know that we often throw in nicknames and often pun related for players, and we get used over and over again. So we want to know which is the best, what's your favorite, let us know. But I'll kick things off with the nominees, which are Trash Panda for Tashar Deshpande, Chatty Cathy for Varun Chakravarthy. An absolute disaster on my end, Sir Yakumar. Sir Yakumar Yadav. And relatively new to this nickname category, Prarik Mankind. We often danced to our favorite new song from Salt and Pepper, Pewshit, for
Pewshit Challenge. Pewshit real good.
Sabotage Siraj. Oh, this next one said Row Miss Sharma. But if we're in the Sharma category, we ought not forget the Instant Sharma, the Fantasy Pocket Hot Pocket Ishant Sharma, and then for Heinrich Klassen, the Klassassin.
That's my favorite category.
It's fun. Price.
Oh, and I have the dubious honor of announcing the nominees for the Fantasy Duck, the biggest letdown from the preseason. So this was from starting at the beginning. Who we thought was going to be great and who ended up not being good. Some of these are so sad. The first one, Andre Man Muscle Russell.
Oh.
Hardik Pandya. My heart is breaking that he's in this category. Quentin DeCock showed up for just a few matches and then
he was taken out of the team in the playoffs for some reason.
What are you doing, LSG?
These are not. Joss Butler is not getting nominated for the awards we expected him to get nominated for.
But here he is.
There's Harshal Patel, Babyface Patel, I like to call him. One of the top bowlers in the last couple of years, did almost nothing this year. And finally, Moeen Ali. Poor Moeen got man of the match once. I mean, gosh, he should be in the one-hit wonder, too. And then was kind of just taken off the team, even though he was there the whole time. Poor Moeen. I don't think he ever took off his batting gear. He just always had it on. He never played.
Does he ever bowl with his batting gear on?
No, because he doesn't ball.
Not anymore. There's no need for it.
Now the one that I wish I had gotten
that you've announced. All been waiting for, the most prestigious of all the awards, the Fantasy MVP. You have Shubman Gill, Yashasvi Jaiswal, Rashid Khan, Faf Duplessis, and Jadeja. Those are your nominees for the Fantasy MVP.
I wish that was my lineup today.
if you could manufacture a game where all those guys are available, that'd be, if you didn't boost, you'd have been silly. But just to caveat that category, that's not necessarily who scored the most points. That is a matter of who just was in general the best play every time they came around. And just like an example of that would be Jaiswal has more fantasy points than Faf, but Faf was far more reliable. So there'll be some additional things to consider when it comes to those categories. Those are the fantasy year-end awards. Let us know if we missed anybody or who your favorites are.
Yeah, and check us out on Twitter. At Fantasy IPL Pod. I'll admit I'm pretty new to Twitter, but I think there's a poll option. And I wonder if we couldn't just throw all these up there and let people vote on Twitter.
Give it a try.
We'll give it a try. Check it out. If it's not there, it means I couldn't figure it out. It should not be too surprising, even if it is an option.
If it's not there, just keep looking.
I don't know which I'm more excited for, the end of the season, the playoffs, or these awards.
The playoffs are probably a little more stressful than these awards. We're hanging on. You and I are sitting atop both the points and the playoff standings in our league, and we're coming down to the last two matches here, and I think we've both engineered – positions where we're going to be playing full rosters for those last two. So the picks are going to be super critical in terms of who edges who out between the two of us. And then we've got some people right on our heels. So no one is safe.
I think that you and I are the, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you and I are the only ones who could still win the points in our league.
It feels that way.
You have a good lead. I think you have like a 250 point lead over me. So it's definitely in your favor. But I think the next person down is like 300 below me, which would be a big gap to cover. So I'm glad that I'm at least still in the running for that, considering how my year started.
Yeah, no, excellent turnaround. But this is it. Like Mark said, this is our last pod before the end of the season. We will talk to you after the season and some throughout the year. But we would be not doing our job if we didn't thank you for hanging out with us this year and giving us your ears and being part of our, you know, at times moronic conversation about this shockingly under advertised sport and this game we play, which is fantasy IPL.
Yeah. And tune in after the playoffs. We will be announcing the winners of the awards. We'll do a little look back at the season and also talk more about what we're going to do the rest of the season. The rest of the year until next season, because I think one way or another, you'll still be hearing from us in the long off season.
It's going to be the champagne episode. It'll be great.
Sounds fun.
We'll talk to you.
Enjoy your playoffs. Win your league.
We'll talk to you in a few days. See you guys.